Good morning, everyone. Good morning to you that are here, and good morning to those that are joining us online. If you are online, please feel free to comment and participate, and if you have any prayer requests, please add those. We're watching, we're listening. This weather can bring some sunshine just any time now. It's gloomy, but it's not gloomy in here. Let me see everybody smiles and get ready to worship this morning. If we have any guests here this morning, we welcome you. If you've got any questions, please just ask someone. They'll help you. The restrooms, if you'll go out the back side door, they're just to the left. And the children's church will be out that same door down the hall. And if you want to check out what's going on in there with your children, you're free to go in. They're in good hands with Hannah, but if you'd like to go in with them, we understand. As usual, our drop box is back there on the back wall. And you can mail in your giving. Or you, if you're really hip, can do it online. I've been able to figure it out, so I have confidence in y'all. Think you're going to be able to do that. And next week, our speaker will be Carvin Adams, and I want to take just a second to thank those that are filling in and speaking for us. We very much appreciate it, and ask that y'all continue to pray for our search for our new preacher, whoever God has in store for us.
This morning, as I was en route to church, I was listening to the gospel hour, and there was a song that came on I thought was just beautiful. It was this, "I'm Redeemed." I think they said Bill Cross wrote it. And it was a phrase in there I thought, we need to hear that this morning. It says, "I'm redeemed. Jesus loosed the chains of sin and set me free." So I think what a beautiful song for us to follow through with that is to stand up and say, what a mighty God we serve. Job well done. Job well done. You may be seated. Children, I believe you can go on and meet with Miss Hannah now.
Good
Before our speaker comes up, who needs no introduction, Ray Owens, we thank you so much. I'd like for you to just take a look at your bulletin or your sheet here and look at our prayer requests that we have for this week. Bobby Carter family, please keep them in your thoughts and prayers. Tommy Hopkins family, Carolyn Hoag, Cherry Easterling, Danny Kendricks, Mike and Patsy Tryon, Sandy Johnson, Ken and Pat Blaylock, Trey Johnson and boys, and those traveling, our country, our children and youth, our newly elected president and leaders, and our shut-ins. And I'm sure there are many, many others on our hearts, and God knows that and hears it. And if you'll just bow your head with me for a prayer. Father God, thank you so much for this day. Thank you for allowing us to be here, allowing us the freedom to be here to worship you. Father, I ask that you open our hearts, close our minds off to anything that might distract us from you. Let us hear your word and let us apply it in our everyday lives. Lord, come let us bow down in worship. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. In Jesus' name, amen. Yes, welcome back. Yay. And everyone else that has healed from this, and please be with the ones that are dealing with it now.
Man, it's good to see you guys. It's funny, you know, it feels like I've been... And I have. I've obviously spoken several times since I was here, but it feels like I'm coming home to my church, you know, as a pastor that's going all over and that sort of thing. But it was good to both be at my home church and spend some time in Nashville, and man, it's great to be back. And boy, I enjoyed getting a chance to listen to and Jeremy and, you know, Carvin and Scott, and that was great. So, man, I'm excited about that. And I know many are home today. I just want to tell you how much I love you and how positive it is, my interaction with all of you and the leaders. And, of course, been praying, especially for Carolyn when we got hit with that. And, Carolyn, we love you. Everybody says hi. So, anyway, there's nobody like Carolyn, is there? And, yes, it's great to see you guys back, several of you here that have been hit by this, and man, it's good to see you here. It really is. I hope that maybe you're ready to be challenged this morning and be encouraged. Would you give permission for God to speak to you? Well, you know, when we put it that way, most of us say, yeah. But when we kind of hear something or the Spirit hits us with something at the moment, we might go, ouch, or uh-oh, or oh my, or whatever. Depends on what generation you're from. I don't know what the newest words would be. I remember my grandma used to call just about every little thing that didn't have a name or she didn't know it, a doohickey. Has anybody ever heard that before? Oh, yeah, okay. Up in Kansas, they don't know what a doohickey is. I'll just tell you that. They know what a John Deere is because that's all they have up there. Everything else went out of business, I think. But it's if you would, I'd like to pray a prayer blessing on you. I'm so excited about you being here, and I pray by being actually in this place and at your home now, perhaps even driving down the road, that God's Spirit would fall upon us all, okay? Father, such a positive, joyous experience this morning in worship. Lord, as we saw Sister Pat and Vicky and, Lord, the smiles that came forth and the Spirit, just an ounce of a taste of what glory is like. And we know this day we're in a world facing a pandemic and a lot of issues, and some of our friends are very ill and even little babies. And Lord, just this morning, serious requests come forward. But yet, sometimes we need to steal away from that and come into your sanctuary and see you high and lifted up in glory, and the angels rejoicing and knowing that that's our home. That's where we are. No matter where we are, we can't separate ourselves from that. For all of us in Christ Jesus should have a smile on our face and know where our home is. So this morning, may you give the spirit of encouragement, and I pray as a priest who stands in the gap, that you would right now anoint your spirit upon every individual, their need, what it is. Encourage them, speak to them, love on them as only you can. And Lord, I rebuke Satan because he'll try to twist words or thoughts or make things negative. Lord, I pray that even the things that he strives for negativity will be turned to positive. God, you are awesome. We are unworthy, but are we blessed? And all God's people said, amen. I actually was ready to preach this about 11:30 last night, and so I didn't really sleep good till about 12:30 or 1 o'clock because I was ready to go. So if I kind of get mixed up or get going, just understand I've preached it so many times already to myself. And you know, I was on fire because I rewrote it. It's been written several times. In fact, if you don't believe that, look at that. Okay? And so this is for today, and this is for us. I titled the message, and on the back of your outline, I think they got me in here. Nick's probably doing this, and that's a great job. Get me in here quick because he saw the outline. They went, oh, my Lord, Brother Ray's after it. But there's your outline. If you got a pen and you want to kind of fill them in, that's good. It helps some people remember, or it gives something that you can go back and or maybe even some of the folks that are shut in or whatever, you get a copy of it to them, you know, as they see it as well. But I titled today's message A Jesus Revolution. Now, how many of us today, and I'm so glad you're here, you can kind of interact with me, could confess you could be better this year as 2021 than 2020, that you really could be a better person, right? Yeah, everybody. And I could be a better son, a better daughter. It's hard for me to be a better daughter, but I'll try to be a better son. I could definitely be a better spouse if you're married. You can be a better spouse. If you're not married, you can't be. If you could be a better man, woman, youth, young person, child, you know, all of those things we could be. And I promise you what this is kind of leaning to is all of us, no matter where we are, and I speak even from pastors' long-term experience, can be better disciples of Jesus Christ in 2021 than we've been. Amen? So I have a scripture, and it's kind of maybe a little tough on the words, and I broke it down, so I'll read it to you. Luke chapter 9, verse 22 through 24, and I think we chose the NIV. Verse 22, and Jesus said, the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders, chief priests, and teachers of the law. And he must be killed, on the third day be raised to life. Boy, that's pretty clear. Then he said to them, if any man or anyone would come after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross, how often? Daily. And follow me. I want to repeat that. If anyone would come after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. For whoever wants to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for me will save it. Now I'm going to skip to verse 57. As they were walking along the road, a man said to him, I will follow you wherever you go. Jesus replied, foxes have holes, birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has no place to lay his head. Then he said to another man, follow me. But the man replied, Lord, first let me go and bury my father. Jesus said to him, let the dead bury their own dead, but you will go and proclaim the kingdom of God. Still another said, I will follow you, Lord, But I can almost hear it. Let me go back and say, what is it? What do I need to say? Oh, say goodbye to my family. Jesus replied, no one who puts his hands to the plow and looks back is fit for the service in the kingdom of God. Now, again, I said those kind of can be tough words there, but there are three different individuals with verbal commitments, right? Resolutions, if you will. I resolve to do this. This is what I'm going to do. And they told the Lord what all they were going to do of the disciples that were following him. And what ended up happening? Did they follow through with that? Probably not. It kind of implies that. And I thought about that because many of you know I had the privilege to go to the Holy Land, spend a good bit of time over there with some pastors. And one thing I learned over there that's really funny, and it's been something I've used a lot, is you can always check with Rabbi Google. Remember, I've talked to you about that. Because they each one of the groups have a rabbi, and that's when they have issues. That's who they go to interpret scripture or even to know what the right thing to do is or whatever, or what information is there. Well, if you Rabbi Google it, what they're going to tell you is between 50 to 55% of Americans have New Year's resolutions, and I know y'all have already heard a little bit about that in the other sermons. Guess how many percent keep it? 10%. That doesn't surprise me. That actually fits a principle that's way back in maybe Italy, long, long time ago, the Pareto principle, which is, you know, 20% of the people do 80% of the work. You know what I'm saying? And by the way, if you're in church leadership or you run a nonprofit, it's the same way. 20% of the people give 80% of the money. You know, it's really a pretty powerful principle. So it kind of doesn't surprise me, but this did surprise me. They're saying how they know, how Rabbi Google knows, I don't know. But it said for 2021, because of the pandemic, 74% made New Year's resolutions this year. That's about a 50% increase. And you millennials were at 88%. Wow. So what's going on? And I thought with so many of us making resolutions, I'd maybe point out a few things that have caused me problems of why resolutions fail in a kind of backward way to talk about what we might can change or whatever. So I'm really mainly talking about myself. But you just have a blank there. I didn't even list them out for you on your outline. And the first one is, really, to be honest, why resolutions fail many times is we don't want to change. We might say we want to change, just like these guys said, hey, I want to follow you, Lord, but by the way, but this, but that, and I'll talk a little bit more about that. Well, you know, in my business, both of my practice as psychologist and both as a pastor, I've had a lot of times people tell me, go talk to my child. I've even had some children say, go talk to my parent. And by the way, how many of you know when you get older, you're going to become a child again? I'm sort of there. I'm. Thank you, Pat. I think I'm in my teenage years and going down really quick. I'm just saying, you know. And you know, talk to them, and they really have a problem, and you know, it's a concern. I agree, I understand that. And the deal is, well, do they want me to talk to them, or do they won't help? Oh no, they don't want you to talk to them and won't help, but you talk to them and fix them, kind of thing. You know what I'm saying? Here's what I want to tell you. You can't help somebody that doesn't want it. And then we'll say a bold statement, might be controversial. God can't help you if you don't want his help. He's chosen to not make us robots. He gave us, and I'm going to talk about it a little bit later, he gave us power and freedom, man, freedom to make choices. But he's going to love us, he's going to help us, he's going to nudge us, he's going to do everything to help us out. But he can't help us if we go, nah. Or we just say, help me, Lord, and then go do whatever we're doing. Help me, Lord, go do whatever we're doing. You see what I'm saying? I also want to tell you, I know there's some pastors that preach, you know, say you're beautiful, say you're this, say you're that, and it's so. I want to tell you, words are cheap. You know, it's not so much the word that says something, that says a thought. It's being obedient to what the God says to you. So I told you some of it's going to be a little tough. But the number one reason, I don't know if we really want to change. Hey, here's another example. Remember the rich young ruler? Do y'all remember that story? If you do, you know, man, this guy, he kept all the Ten Commandments. And by the way, I read it new the other day, and it was kind of like everything was about the rich young ruler when I read it this time. Isn't that neat about the Bible? You can read it 10 times and 4 or 5 of them's about the same, and all of a sudden, where did that come from? It's called the Holy Spirit, but, you know. And all of a sudden, I read it, and it goes, I've done this my whole life. What must I do to be saved? You know, it's I. And then Jesus says, you know, sell all you got. And, you know, so y'all know the story. Now, that isn't what he wants for us. God has rich people that he uses in amazing ways. That's nothing to do. But money was his God. And it was all about me. I'm being honest. So he hit there. So he, you can say, I want to inherit the kingdom of God. But when you get the answer, do you want to do it? Does that make sense? I don't know that he really wanted to inherit the kingdom of God. And of course, I'm being honest, you remember the story. If you're rich and you're young, that means you're usually attractive. And, you know, it kind of reminds me of a Hollywood thing. Everybody's rich and attractive, right? If that's the case, it's hard to humble. In fact, he said for a rich person, you can get to heaven, but you have to get down on your knees and go through the gate. Remember the eye of the camel going through the eye of the needle. They have to get down and crawl to go through the gates and get back up. That's what he's saying. It's not impossible. I want to tell you, our default in life, because of the Adamic nature, if you understand that theology, our default's not good. How many of you think, based on what you've seen going on politically and all, if there was no law enforcement and no way to enforce it, everybody would just be good because they love one another? I don't want to get off on that. Marlon have to come up here and help me, and our blood pressure go high, so I better move along. And I even have on my notes here, go quickly, because I knew I'd get stuck on this. So let's just suffice, if you don't want to change, God can't help you. But I do want to tell you this, it is hard to live a godly life. Not because it's hard, but it's remember that deny himself? Self wants to do this. I'll pick an easy one. I'd like to, man, there's so many times I want to tell somebody how the cow ate the cabbage. Set them straight. You know. And you want to, and maybe you're gifted at it. I'm very gifted at that. It's a terrible thing to be gifted at. But I can make someone cry. You know. Because a cocky person, I'm gifted and I can see through them that they're so insecure. So, you know, you can go for the quick. And it's unfair. But you want to do it, and that's fun, and it feels good. And afterwards, you feel good for a little while till the Spirit comes on you, and then you go, what a jerk, you know. And you know what I'm... So my point is, the flesh wants to do it, but the Spirit, when we yield to the Spirit, he goes, no, that's not right. And all it'll do is make you feel better and not going to help them. Because if words would change them, you know what I'm saying, that's not going to happen. So I'm just using that as an illustration. Second reason, first is we don't want to change, and sometimes this is me too. We want to do too much too fast. Do I have anybody in here like that? I want to get it done and get it done now. And we were on vacations. I didn't plan on telling you this, but one good thing about Brooke, she got to see the country. But I mean, we would get up and drive, and I'd smoke it all day long, pull up to the Grand Canyon. All right, look at it. You got 5 minutes because we got to make it. We got to make it over here to, we're going to make it to the Painted Desert right at sunset when you get that 5 minutes of beautiful, you know, whatever it is, aura thing. And we were driving and there was a thunderstorm coming and I'm like, oh, we're not going to make it. We got there and we got about 2 minutes of that, you know. And then we go to the hotel and we closed down more swimming pools at 10 or 11 o'clock at night, you know, because we were conquering. We conquered the United States. But did we experience it? You know, no. I was dumb. Sort of still am. But too much, too fast. How many of you these last 2 months have been eating a lot and been binging, and then we go into a New Year's resolution? Number one one's always losing weight, you know. And it is the number one. I got that. But we've been binging, and then all of a sudden, we really are good for like 5 to 10 days. I mean, that's a long time. And we expect to see results. Well, all I got to tell you, it took me years to look like this. It's going to take more than a few days to get over it. You see what I'm saying? Well, I want to put that spiritually. At my yard or house or even at my deer property, I can plant ryegrass and it comes up in a week, and within 2 or 3 weeks, it's beautiful green and all that. So it doesn't take long for that to come up. But let me tell you, if I plant an oak tree, it takes years for it to become oak tree. So sometimes in our life, we want immediate gratification, microwave fix. You know, we do. We're spoiled. But one reason sometimes our resolution, what we feel we should do, fails is because we try to do it too fast. We expect results overnight. I don't think the Lord's interested in how fast. He wants to make sure we end up being an oak tree and strong. Thirdly, I think this is all of us, especially here in the United States, we want to change without pain. We want to lose weight but not go hungry. That's me. You know, we want to quit our addiction, whatever it is, smoking or, you know, it can be many things, alcohol, lust, all those kind of addictions that affect your brain, but we don't want any withdrawal to it. You know, we don't want to deal with that. We want to be in shape, but I don't like getting tired. That's a problem, you know. I want to be a better person, but I'm not fixing to have self-control. I'll be honest, I'd like to go in the room and just step in the machine and scan you and you're a better person. Now, I can fake it for a while, but time tells. That's why I encourage couples as I was, you know, coming up as a youth pastor and other things. Look, date a long time. Get to know one another. Anybody can fake it for a little while, you know. It's after you've been married a little while and you wake up, morning breath, each of you. That's when love comes in. I'm just telling you. That's where it is. You know, permanent change requires pain. And I just want to tell you again, it's not real popular, but no pain, no gain. Y'all have heard that, right? It's really true. It really is. It's going to be a cost. Now, I'm going to talk about the benefits of it later. Also, I do think, honestly, I know in my case this has been the case, we do not understand the full benefit of what we're doing, of the change. If we changed, what years later would be a benefit? So spiritually, you know, if I'm reading the Word of God and learning it, or even when I was in Bible college getting in a deeper level of it or something, I never understood how my whole life later I would just know what to do. Does that make sense? I didn't understand that way down there it's guiding my life. It's so great. I had no clue. It was a great benefit. What about all of us that have been raised on McDonald's? High calorie, you know, food, low fiber diet. Well, I mean, look at all the health conditions with diabetes, you know, all the problems that we've had because of that diet. We don't see it down there. Or heart attacks, you know what I'm saying? We don't see down the line, and I think that we get mixed information. If you're a health freak, you read eggs are bad for you. Y'all remember that? Now they're good for you. I don't know what next week will be, but, you know, here's the deal. You know, this is good, this is bad. So a lot of times we don't understand all of that. I do know this. Somebody who really gets in shape or commits to what they do, they always feel better, don't they? You know, they feel good. The pain, the effort of it, but they feel good. They usually sleep better. You know, all the things that happen with that. And finally, I want to move along. I think the fifth one that I came up with that kind of winds it down why our resolutions sometimes fail is we don't turn our intentions into actions. And I sort of alluded to that earlier. But our resolutions don't become what the title of the message is, a revolution. A revolution. A total change. Where we revolt against the way we're going and we do a change. And that's why we don't need to make a revolution. We need a Jesus revolution because it's always a partnership with God. And what I mean is promises with the mouth and things that we say but not actions are not good. So if you look at the text, you see a guy that says, I'll follow you. But obviously he didn't. And no one said, let me go bury my dead father. Like, you know, he just died last week. You know, whatever. Let me go say goodbye to my family. And all those kind of sometimes sound okay. But these have been people that have been following him and, you know, realize, hey, he doesn't have a nice hotel. He doesn't have a mansion to stay in. I don't know if I want to go with this person. And many said yes. But we know only a few stayed the whole time. So on your outline, I have principles to have a successful revolution. And I'm talking about a Jesus revolution. And the first is real easy. There are a couple things to fill in the blank. Recognize that a little change can make a big difference. A little change can make a big difference. Notice that scripture there in John 21, verse 4 through 6 on your outline. Early in the morning, Jesus stood at the shore, but the disciples did not realize that it was Jesus. And he called out to them, "Friends, haven't you any fish?" "No," they answered. He said, "Well, throw your net on the right of the boat and you'll find some." And when they did, they were unable to haul in the net because it was such a large number of fish. I think I might have shared this with you, but a while back I discovered VidAngel, a Christian streaming service, and they have a show called Chosen. It's about the life of Jesus. And there's a part in there where it shows Peter. You get to know each one of them. And when Peter became a disciple, when Jesus basically did the same thing. But I want you to think about this story. The disciples are not catching fish. And Jesus just simply said, put on the other side of the boat. What I loved about that story is they said, "Lord, we've been fishing all night long." Remember one of the other gospels? I mean, dude, we're professional fishermen, no offense. And we've been fishing all night long. You know, now, what was the difference in catching fish? Did they go buy a bunch of baits? That would have worked for me. I bought baits that'll catch a fisherman all day long. Do you know what I mean by that? Any fishermen in here? The bait will catch a fisherman. It don't catch fish, but it, man, that thing, it that will catch a fish. It don't work, but, you know. It's got colors. I remember a rogue, that's a bait that will bite you every time it touches you, back when I used to do that, has barbs every which way. There's three treble hooks down there. And they had one Mardi Gras. My wife thought it was the most beautiful bait because she likes, you know, decorating the Mardi Gras. Mardi Gras colors. It didn't catch any fish, but, you know. In other words, they didn't go buy new baits. Hey, they didn't even go buy them a new Ranger bass boat. That's what many of us do. Well, we got to have a bigger boat. I need 300 horsepower, you know. They didn't go to a different lake. I hear they're biting over at Bussy. I hear they're biting on the river, you know. Didn't do that. They didn't even get different nets. What was the difference? They simply responded to the words of Jesus. Now that's profound. It's simple, but it's profound. Whatever Jesus tells you to do, if you respond to that simple thing, it will have a life-altering effect on everything in your life. Amen? Anybody know what I'm talking about? Most of us could alter our life with one change. So I've got a sample there on your outline, if I can pull it up, that has numbers on it. Do you see that? Is that on the outline there? Yeah, here it is. You see 3, 3, 3, 3, 3, what, 5 times 3 is 243? And then if you just add one number to it, only one, and you do it 5 times, look at it, 1,024. Do you get the point? Or if you know the rule of 72 in interest, 72 divided by your interest rates, how often it doubles. Guys, you buy something at 5% interest, or you buy something at maybe only 7% interest, oh, it's about the same. No, it's not. No, it's not. Or 10% interest. I remember when house loans were 14 and 15% interest. Can you believe that? 5 times what they are today. People would stand in, actually spent the night waiting on bond money for 8%, like that was free. If you know, I mean, they would sleep at Troy Nichols, you know, to get that loan, because they at least understood that instead of paying for their house 6 times, they would only pay for it 2.5 times. You know what I mean? If $100,000 house over the life of it. In other words, a little change does make a big difference. And Satan reminds us all the time how we fail. But he's not wanting us to make a little change and stick with it. You see what I'm saying? Because he knows it's powerful. I bet some of us here, especially the preacher, could raise the climate of our entire household if I would change my attitude just a little bit. I don't have to go from... Now, I don't know everybody here, but some of us have kind of the grumpy look. Like, I've never seen you smile. That's okay. I know you smile, but, you know. And by the way, smiles are more fun to look at. They increase your, you don't have to have as much plastic surgery. They're a lot better for you. But, you know, I'm not talking you have to become a comedian and bubbly, but just smile once in a while. I mean, you might shock your husband or wife so much that it'd make their day just if you smiled, you know, especially if they mess up. I think we could be more of a man or woman of God if we would give God just a little bit more of our time and especially spend time with him reading his word. Remember I said following one word of Jesus makes an eternal difference. The second thing on your outline there is claim your God-given right and responsibility to rule. Or another word, if I use the biblical term, was dominion. I kind of talked about this earlier when I first started. A couple scriptures on your outline, Genesis 1:26. Then God said, let us make man in our image and our likeness and let them rule, or many versions say have dominion. In Psalms 8:6, you made him ruler over the works of your hands. You put everything under his feet. David talking about how God has given us the right to rule. And we get so beaten down by life sometimes, guys, and all that, and we get in where we're messed up. And yeah, we can't change the pandemic. We can't change the weather. By the way, that's why I wore bright today. I said, we need some sunshine. I don't know about y'all, but you know, I was in it all day yesterday. You know, we can't change the weather, but you know what I can do? I can change how I deal with the weather. You know, I might can put off some things that, hey, when it rains, I love being outside and doing this, or I have this to do when it rains, but I'm going to do this inside so that you're not on a pretty day inside doing this and going, I wish I was outside. How many of you know people like that? Where if they're here, they want to be there. If they're there, they want to be here. If they're at Disney World, well, I should have done this for, you know what I mean? They can't even enjoy the moment. I'm talking obviously about myself at times. Surely no one in here. You can't change others. You can't change every circumstance. But you and I can change how we deal with others and how we deal with circumstances. Do you know? Sometimes we have to put a boundary down. Sometimes we just have to do that. We have to, it's how we affect and how we relate to other people. So we need to realize God has given us, it's a partnership with God, and God has given us dominion to rule, and we need to take charge of that. You and you alone control whether or not Jesus Christ is your personal Savior. You and you alone determine that. If I could do it for you, it'd be awesome. Man, I'd just go, you know, Jesus is your Savior. Jesus is your Savior. You know, we just go around, it is, it is. But we have to make that decision. We have to make it. I can't do it for you. And to be a disciple of Jesus, you and you alone. I can get evangelism explosion, discipleship programs, and I have taught them and I've done them and all that. And I've even had groups with men and others, and we get together, we go for a while, and then after time, maybe it kind of changes. But the ones that chose, this is what I want to do, I want to get deeper in it, that's when we do it, when we decide. I want to be honest with you. It's not predestined, like you don't have a choice. Well, I'm just predestined to be godly, I'm predestined to not. It doesn't work that way. Did you know you and you alone have control over your attitude? I wish we had a, you know, it'd be great if we could just kind of flip it up and turn a little button there, you know, and change people's attitude. That'll come in the future with the new robots that'll take care of us. If you're grumpy this morning, sorry if you were, I'm sorry. If you were grumpy this morning, you chose to be grumpy. If you got up on the wrong side of the bed, get back in it and get on the other side and jump out. If you're happy this morning, you chose to be happy. I mean, really, I'm talking to myself, so no one here. I mean, when I point at you, there's three fingers coming back at me. I want to make sure you understand that. You know, a lot of times we want to blame it on our kids, our spouse, the bed, work, you know, all that sort of thing. I hear all the time, she doesn't make me happy. He doesn't make me happy. He makes me so mad. He makes me so mad. She makes me so mad. Well, How do they make you mad? I guess if you said made me crazy, he's driving me crazy. Yeah. But you choose to go ahead and let that person drive you crazy. You see what I'm saying? We choose that. Do you follow me? We can decide whether we're going to blow it off or do something. And I wonder, people blame God. It's not just husbands and wives and children and all that. What are you going to blame? Who are we going to blame? Who are you going to blame? And who am I going to blame when we don't seek God and become the disciple that he wants us to be? Well, my preachers didn't do it right. My church family wasn't loving. Well, you're done there. Y'all got great preaching and you got a loving church family. It's awesome. So we can't use those. We got to come up with another one. You follow what I'm saying? We're coming up with excuses. No, it's us. It's us. Don't blame mama, daddy, or whatever. It's us. I don't know, that hurt a little bit. Say this, that hurt a little bit. Yeah, thank you. Now you feel better. Oh, you're smiling. That's good. Third, let's move off of this point. Third, picture yourself as the person you want to become. Picture yourself as the person you want to become. Now, I'm going to stop by saying this is not new age or a lot of the popular stuff that's going on there, I'm trying to say. But this is the Word of God. Matthew 6:22. The eye is the lamp of the body. If your eyes are good, the whole body will be full of light. Many of us don't become what God wants us to because our eyes are focused on the wrong thing. Meaning, especially I've learned this through working with Mercy Multiplied Ministries, you know, with my wife being so involved in them and my daughter being the director of it in Nashville and all these things, seeing these girls have been through so much. So it's so hard for them to see what God wants them to see because of their past. Does that make clear? And maybe even some of us. And every now and then, all of us have sinned and fall short of the glory. And there's some things in our past we're not proud of. If you're human and you've lived a life, there's some things you're not proud of. And don't get into, well, my things are worse than your things, okay? It's things. They're there. But if God's given us forgiveness of it, he says he's taken it and God has whirled it as far as the east is from the west. And if you want to bring it up, he'll say, I distinctly remember forgetting that. Y'all have heard that said, right? So God's got it back there. So who's reminding you of all that junk? Satan? Kind of feel like Saturday Night Live all of a sudden. The church lady. Satan. Absolutely. Guess what Satan's name is? Look it up. Satan actually means accuser. He runs around accusing. I've had some family members that were Satan. They're always accusing. So, many of us don't become what God wants us to because of our past. We're focused on that because there is something to what you see is what you get. If you focus on something, it can consume you. And this is to help you. So, God is awesome. God sees what you and I can be. And I'm glad he don't show it to us at one zap because I don't think we can handle the truth. Jack Nicholson will be proud of that. We can't handle the truth. You know what I mean? But he shows it to us at little along. And then when we look back on our life and go, wow, I can't believe what God's done in my life or what he's done, because we've taken steps and we've been faithful. And over time, we can see where we are. And Satan's never running up and going, boy, Jim, look where you are today. You should have followed me and you'd be over there. You know, he don't do that. I think one of the things the church is meant to do is less criticizing and more encouraging of one another. A great church family, you can go home and let me tell you, when you feel, well, as a pastor, you see folks failing and you see folks you pour into and they don't do right and all that. And humanly, it gets a little frustrating. You have kids that do the same thing. If you have two kids, you're going to have kids that do that. You know, that happens. Really get on our knees and pray about it, especially first, and say for wisdom to talk about it. But as far as generally speaking, all of us need to encourage one another on this side. Amen? Encourage one another. You might know the truth and know they're not, but encourage them when you see good. And I think that's something that we need to picture in our mind. I want you to do this. Close your eyes with me if you don't mind. You can do that at home. If you're driving, don't do that right now. But I want you to bow your heads and picture. What would you want to be at the end of 2021? Or what will your life look like? Let's believe by faith that the pandemic's over with, you know. And this is getting ready, November, December next year. You know, what's your life looking like right now? Just kind of visually, spiritually, with your mind, open it and think about it. What kind of attitude will you have? Will you be so excited it's over with? How will you respond to family? Holidays are about to come up. What kind of man, woman, or youth of God will you be? Okay, you can open your eyes. I want to read a scripture if you'll put it up, Philippians 4:8. Finally, brothers, whatever's true, whatever's noble, whatever's right, whatever's pure, whatever's lovely, whatever's admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Okay, those of you in this room, 25% of you are hardcore melancholy. This scripture needs to be memorized by you, and I use it all the time. And I'm not 100% melancholy, but I'm telling you, use it all the time. When something comes up and it kind of gets negative, or I see something else, I go, whatever's lovely, whatever's good. And if I don't see lovely or good, I go, okay, open my eyes, Lord, there's got to be lovely or good here. And he does. Do you see the difference? I need to picture myself what I want to become, and I need to picture in other people what they want to become, because there is some self-fulfilling prophecy with this. Do you see what I mean? Whatever you think about, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. So if you're thinking about it and dwelling on it, it's going to be a problem. If you dwell on your failures, that's not good. If you dwell on the successes and the positive, the lovely, the beautiful, the positive. Do you see what I'm saying? Let me make sure. You're not doing it yourself. You're following the word of God and claiming a promise, and the Lord Jesus does the work in your heart. Okay? It's not self-new age stuff. That's what I'm talking about. Fourthly, on your outline, repent of self-destructive attitudes and actions. Now, repent's one of those words that we don't like to hear. Sounds terrible. Repent, young man, repent. I've always thought it'd be cool to hear John the Baptist hollering in the wilderness, you know, all bearded up and covered with probably dried honey coming down his beard, and, you know, wearing animal cloth and yelling, repent, you know, and all that sort of thing. Until I realized he'd probably be telling me to repent because, you know, I'm a preacher, and he really didn't like the religious people back then. We were kind of messed up. Yeah, he didn't really like it. But what does repent mean? Repent means you're going this way in life and you turn around and go 180 degrees back the other way. That's what repent is. So yes, it's an attitude, but it's also an action. It's an action. So here's what I want to tell you. In 2021, I believe that our success that you just dreamed about, and man, I wish we'd had time to talk about what you saw and how neat. I hope you're appreciative a year from now when all this is over with. I hope they're not even very appreciative. Hey, let's give them another round. You know what I'm saying? Be appreciative. But I think it has to do with as much to what you say no to as what you say yes to. And I'm being honest, this sounds negative, but I believe it. I think it's just as important to say no to things as it is yes to things. For every divine yes, there needs to be an earthly no. God's telling us to do something, and sometimes we need to not do some things that are going to hinder that. So let's pick healthy. God's telling us maybe to eat healthy, or we feel in our spirit we need to do that, or we need to have a better healthy attitude. Then we're going to have to say no to some things that are not healthy or not good for our attitude. Does that make sense? So repent means to turn. And it says there in our scripture, I think I have for you, Hebrews, yeah. Therefore, since we're surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, and by the way, I want to stop right there. In my mind, I always put saints that have gone on in my mind. I don't personally, you know, see Moses and all them. I don't know them real well. I've read about them, you know. But I see, you know, great-grandpas and grandmas and aunts and other friends and former pastors and godly people as if I'm surrounded by them. And let me tell you, they're in heaven, so they're not going to go, boy, straighten up. You know, they're going to be encouraging me. I'm surrounded by them. It says, since that's true, let us throw off everything that hinders. That's getting rid of it, saying no to it. And the sin that so easily entangles us. And let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. So that's getting rid of some stuff. And there's many other scriptures. And also, especially the one that hinders us, because everyone in here, we've talked about that. We all have a sin that so easily we fall into, and it's different for everybody. So whatever that is, we've got to run from it, get away from it. And remember, not zap, but one day at a time. And that leads us to our last point. Allow God to shape you one day at a time. One day. Remember our text? How often do we die daily? We die daily. I'm going to throw this out. If you're in a real battle, you might need to die hourly. I told people all the time, if Paul had to die daily, then I probably need to do it every 30, 45 minutes. You know? I mean, when you're ready to, you know, you got to, whoa, make sure self's dead and the spirit's leading. The scripture Jesus gives us in 6:34, very famous scripture, basically, let the day's own trouble be sufficient for the day, but it says, therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. How many of you know that? Tomorrow's going to have enough new ones, okay? It will. Each day has enough trouble of its own. What a beautiful scripture. When I think of where I need to be maybe in 2021 or, you know, things I might be facing, sometimes it can be overwhelming and maybe you feel the same way. But here's what I do know. With God's help, Ray Owens can be a good husband one day if I work hard at it. I can maybe be a good father or grandfather to Liam one day. And if that's not working, in the morning. In the afternoon, we'll work on the afternoon. Do you follow me? It's what Jesus said. This is biblical. This is what it is. And it's easy. It's amazing. The Bible's so practical, so awesome in depth, and yet simple. And I know with God's help, I can do it one day. I can treat Dana good. I can do that one day at a time. I'm pretty sure you can do it for one day. What do you think? Hebrews 4:7, therefore God again set a certain day, calling it today, when a long time later he spoke through David as before. Today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. Every day we need to hear a word from the Lord, brothers and sisters. Do you agree with that? We need to hear it. And it's everything's daily. Don't worry about the future and all those kind of things. It's daily in our life. So as I wind it down, I think God wants it to be one day at a time. In fact, he tells us to take up our cross daily and follow me. So as we are in 2021, it seems like just the other day we were 2020, it just seemed like yesterday. We need a revolution where we partner with Jesus. Like more of Jesus in 2021 and less of me. That's denying self, taking up our cross and following him. More of a biblical base view, more of a biblical lifestyle, or what's the gospel? Does anybody, the gospel, actually if you translate, it's good news. What does that mean? No matter what I do, no matter how religious I am, no matter I'm four generations preachers, whatever, none of that matters. I can never be good enough to get right with God. In fact, the whole Bible, the whole law there, there's no way I could ever live every one of those. You follow what I'm saying? No way. The good news is God made a way when there wasn't a way. He sent his son to pay the price, cleanse me of all unrighteousness, and set me free. There's no self-help that'll get you there. And I'm going to be real blunt, and I want to be on the internet for this. There is only one way to God, and the name is Jesus. God loves every person that goes a different way. Hindu, Muslim, all these different religions and all that, but it's real clear in the Bible, and we love people and don't run around judging and slamming and critiquing. But you in your life, as for you, you need to know there's one name and only one name that can bring us back to God, and that's Jesus Christ and the sacrifice he made. There's only one name worth praying in. You can pray all day all kinds of prayers, but it's in the name of Jesus. If you ask anything in my name, you know, that's Jesus saying that himself. We know that. So, if God made a way when there was no way, do you think he'll make a way that we can be better disciples and that we're growing and we're doing better? Sure. Look at Peter and these ragtag guys denying him, cussing, all this sort of stuff. And then, you know, 3 years with him and still messing up. And then God did a work in their life. The Holy Spirit came upon them. And look at them afterwards. Whoa. Walked by somebody. Boom. Healed. Jesus even said, when I leave, more things will be done. You'll have more authority, more power. Because I'm not just with you. I'm going to send the Holy Spirit to empower you. It's pretty awesome. So it's not us. So I don't want this to be a New Year's resolution, self-help sermon. That's not what I'm trying to say. It's a Jesus help sermon. Does that make sense? He did the work. He's done the work. We've just got to do our part to claim it and follow along with it and live by his principles. Amen? For some of us, I'm going to be honest, initially you will need some outside help. You know, especially, I just talked about mercy, but anybody. And it doesn't matter. You're going to need some outside help. You might need, when you start this process, some godly biblical counsel and advice. Some of us, as we get a little along, need a loving church family. We got to have. God designed that, where we're encouraged. We need that. And the reason is, we can't trust our feelings. Man, when somebody's saved, they're not saved and beam there. Remember the oak tree thing? It takes a while. And we benefit from accountability. I mean, and if we ever fall back in an area, we'll need some accountability. We need somebody to walk with us. But for all of us in this room and all of you at home, we must have God's Holy Spirit helping us. Absolutely. Seek it, depend on it, need it. If you don't understand that, I mean, talk to me individually. I'll talk to you about it. Or like even Star Wars in the movie talked about the Force. I mean, this is 10 times better than that. But you got to understand, it's just in you and about you and all over you. By the way, they copied that from the Bible, basically. You know, and he made money on the deal. We got to fall in love with Jesus and then yield on him, that we're not alone and he's with us and he's fought the battles and he didn't save us to let us flop, right? God didn't save you or me to let us flop. I feel like a flop. You're not a flop. He's there for us. We submit to Jesus as Lord, and you know what? That's really all discipleship is. We just submit one day at a time, more and more, more and more, one day at a time. Ooh, have some tough goings. And before we know it, we're off camera and we're way over here looking back where we used to be. That's what discipleship is. It's one day at a time. It's 1 hour at a time. It's being faithful. It's getting stronger. And how many of you know, there are temptations when I was a teenager. They don't bother me anymore. I'm not tempted by alcohol at all. It doesn't I don't even like the taste of it, and it burns. I got a best friend that thinks I'm on the internet. He thinks the taste is awesome. And it took him a long time to get, you know, he had to wean off to non-alcoholic. I was like, man, that stuff's terrible. But you know, everybody's temptation's different, and I can't say mine's any better or not. So like our text, there are upfront costs. You deny self. Self's wanting to slap somebody. Self's wanting to tell them off. Self's wanting to take a drink or smoke or eat 16 more brownies or whatever it is. You know, flesh is wanting to do that, and we have to go, nope, just one. Okay, well, I'm just starting out two. and then we gradually work that way, right? So, but what are the long-term benefits of denying self daily? I mean, I could preach this sermon, you got to deny yourself, take up your dead cross, and follow me. Amen, preacher. Or I could talk about what's the results of that over time? Joy and freedom in life that hardly very many ever experience. You can hit yourself with crack cocaine or any kind of drug and get a high. When you come back down, you're not as high as you were when you started it. Did you know that? That's what addiction is. And then you need it more and more and more. Okay? Our mind is set free of guilt. How much is that worth? I could make a $1 billion if I could go, ding, all guilt gone for you. That'll be $600 the rest of your life. Gladly pay it, brother. You see what I'm saying? Where does that come from? God renews our mind. He sets us free. Man, how much is that worth? This is on this side of heaven. We're not in heaven yet. That's now. Guilt is gone. Peace. I love this. Peace that passes all understanding. How about this? In the midst of sorrow, a peace. I've seen it. We're in the midst of unbelievable things, or y'all have seen people go through terrible things, and y'all know the famous footprints in the sand. And people later tell me, man, I don't know how I went through that, to be honest. And it's like that God was carrying you. How much is that worth? How much is this worth? You talk about eternal security. I'll tell you the kind of eternal security I love. It's what Paul talked about. What if you're truly what God wants you to be, you don't need any title or anything. You're his child. You love him and you know it. What can anybody do to you? If they kill you, you go be with him. Get your mansion a little ahead of time maybe. You know? I mean, remember Paul, he said, kill me and man, I go to heaven, but boy, if I could stay here and take more with me, and I love living and I love my brothers and sisters. I even love those people I'm trying to witness to. You see what I'm saying? What do you do? In other words, we got stuff to look forward to. I'd hate to be this old, parts falling apart, making noise and all that, and not know I don't have something to go. That'd be the pits. We'd have clinical depression. Thank the Lord, I know my home's there, and there'll come a time when I get to be there. Praise the Lord. How much is that worth? The retirement plan is literally out of this world. Literally. Man, the positive and godly joys and sorrow. And then I want to close with this one. What a benefit. Has anybody in here ever been alone before? Three or four of you have experienced some things that are pretty alone. Yeah, sure, we have before. And it could be something as simple as you had a date or, you know, maybe a big trip. Could even be a hunting trip or something or whatever, and the person didn't get to come for whatever reason. There you are. And it's not terrible, but you're alone or whatever. And then other times, it is tough. Losing a spouse or whatever, or best friend, or it's lonely. Here's what I want to tell you. As a disciple of Jesus Christ, I want you to understand this. You are never alone. Never. Cannot be, even if you want to be alone. Psalms. Where can you go to separate yourself from the presence of God and his love? You know, it talks about a lot of places. It even says hell, Sheol. It even says death. You cannot be, death can't even separate you from the love of God. Now that's amazing. That ought to excite somebody. That ought to be, man, I want to experience God's love all year long. Isn't that powerful? Amen? That's exciting. Nothing can separate you from God's love. So I think as we close there, I put a thing at the bottom of your outline. Are we making resolutions and kind of like those three guys saying some things? Are we experiencing a Jesus revolution? Where yes, he tells us what to do, but we do it one day at a time, little by little, and then we look back and we're way over here. You follow what I'm saying? And don't try to jump there like I do. I just want to take the course and get on over here. Or jump in the microwave and get over there. Or, you know, beam over, you know. One day at a time, because in that growing, that's where we are. And finally, church family, please, please, please. No matter, some of your personalities are such, this is not a challenge. For some of you, it is. Your job in this church family is to love on each other and show the love of Christ to other people. And when you look at somebody, you know, you see something good in them, you know, tell them. Don't be fake about it. Gene, you look great. Look better than you've ever been. Now, at that time I'm doing it, I'm, you know, that's the best looking baby I've ever seen. Did I tell you I'm running for something? No, I'm just, if I want to say, I don't mean that. I mean genuinely in the Spirit of God. Just encourage one another. Is that good? Encourage one another. Help their resolutions turn into revolutions. Amen? I want to pray. God, take these words, anoint them with your Holy Spirit, speak to hearts, encourage, transform day by day, hour by hour, and oh, are we excited what the end of 2021 will bring when we look back because of your faithfulness and the work you've done in our lives. And all God's people said, amen.
Thank you for that message. I don't know about y'all, but I'm a little fired up. I think I can go out and do this. I don't know if I can do daily. I'm going to have to do the hourly thing, okay? But I think I've got it. Baby steps. But thank you. Thank you. If you'll just bow your heads and we'll dismiss with prayer. Father, thank you so much that you are with us all the time, that we're never alone, never, ever alone. If all we do is just turn to you, that's all we have to do. We thank you for that. We thank you for everything, the blessings in our life, the trials in our life that show us that you are with us. Please go with us, be with us, and help us to do the daily thing for you. In Jesus' name. Amen.